Well, Dr. Jack Deere, in his book, Surprised by the Voice of God, he relays this story of an experience he had when he was teaching Sunday school with a class of about 150 to 200 kids ages 10 to 12 years old. Now, being a former Old Testament professor at Dallas Seminary, he decided just to do a Q&A. And so he asked the kids, what questions do you have about the Bible that I might be able to answer? Well, the first kid raised his hand and asked, Pastor, why is it that bad things happen to people who love God and try to follow him? Well, Deere took some time to try to address that complicated question. Then a second hand went up. Pastor, why did God create the devil? Jack Deere thought to himself, I'd begun to think that some demon from hell had smuggled the kids a list of all the unsolved theological problems for the last 20 centuries and said, here, kids, ask him these. Well, he said after about 40 minutes of this, the kids were totally bored. Jack Deere turned to a young staff member. He was a guy who was very gifted in hearing God and had the gift of prophecy. Deere asked him, has the Lord shown you anything about these kids? He sure isn't showing me much. Yes, the young man said, and he pointed to a 12-year-old girl sitting in the front row and asked her name. Julie, she replied. He said to her, Julie, while Jack was speaking, I had a vision of you. It was Tuesday night, that's 5 nights ago. You went to your bedroom and shut the door. You were crying. You looked up to heaven and said, God, do you really love me? I have to know. Do you really love me? God didn't say anything to you on Tuesday night, Julie. He sent me here tonight to tell you he really loves you. He really loves you. And he also told me to tell you that the trouble going on around you, it's not your fault. He didn't tell me if he's going to change the trouble, but he wants you to know you aren't the cause of it. After that Sunday school class was over, Jack Deere went over and talked with that young girl, Julie. He asked, Julie, last Tuesday night, were you in your bedroom crying really hard? And did you ask God if he really loved you? Yes, she responded. Are your parents fighting now? He asked. Yes. Are they talking about getting a divorce? Yes. Do you think it's your fault? Julie looked up at him, smiled, and said, not anymore. You know, we've all heard stories of God speaking to others, but I think that we're honest with ourselves. Many of us wonder, why don't I hear God speak like that? Many of us long to see God work in our lives, but we find ourselves wondering, how can I hear God's voice more clearly? That's what we're going to talk about this evening. Now, I know this is a controversial topic. I've shared this quote before, but this is one of my favorite quotes regarding hearing God. It's by the great scholarly theologian Lily Tomlin. Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic? You know, on the other hand, listen to what, again, the late Dallas Willard wrote in his book, Hearing God. He says this, hearing God, a daring idea, some would say, presumptuous and even dangerous. But what if we were made for it? What if the human system simply will not function properly without it? There are good reasons to think it will not. The fine texture as well as the grand movements of life show the need. Is it not, in fact, more presumptuous and dangerous to undertake human existence without hearing God? So does God really want to speak to us? And if so, how can we grow in our ability to hear God? So we're going to talk about this evening. Now again, if you have been with us these past weeks, you know that we're in a series called Reimagining Hope. And we are looking at four core values, the four core values of our official mission statement. And so we've got that up here. And I want us to read this aloud together, out loud. Let's do this. Say this together. To honor God by helping people develop a passion for God, follow his word and spirit, live in community, and touch the lives of others. Again, we've simplified this to make it a little bit more memorable. And again, let's say this again together aloud here. to honor God by helping people become Christ followers who devote, grow, connect, and serve. Again, these are not only four core values of our church, they're also four characteristics of a fully devoted Christ follower. And so if you remember 4 weeks ago, we talked about developing a passion for God. And we looked at the Old Testament person of David. David was a man after God's heart. And we said that David modeled passion to know and love the Lord. He also had a heart for worship and a commitment to prayer. And then 3 weeks ago, we talked about following his word. We looked at Psalm 19. And as an action point, I remember we encouraged all of us to spend focused time every day reading and studying God's word. Then last week, we talked about following his spirit. And we looked at Galatians 5. And remember this little diagram here. We talked about this mountain slope and how Paul talked about the dangers of one sliding down the slope of legalism, but then on the other hand, sliding down the slope of license. And remember that he wants us to walk that ridge, that mountain ridge of liberty or freedom. Well, how do we do that? Well, we looked at Galatians 5 and concluded this, that we need to keep in step with the Spirit to live that victorious life as well as to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully you remember to put your boots there by your bed and every morning to ask God to fill you with the Spirit. By the way, that's not just a good exercise for this past week. Let me encourage you, that is a great habit to get into for the rest of your life. And so it's part of one way that we can remind ourselves, again, our need to depend upon God's Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us. Well, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of your Spirit. And you said that because your Spirit lives within us, that we can hear your voice. But Jesus, sometimes we struggle to do that. And so would you open up your word this evening? Help us to hear from you that we might develop an ear for your voice. We ask that in your name. Amen. Well, I believe that one of the greatest barriers to hearing God is that we're not totally convinced that God wants to speak to us, or that we're not totally convinced that we've got the ability to hear from him. So what does God's word have to say? Well, turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And let me give you the context here. Jesus has already been crucified, he's been resurrected, and he's appeared to his disciples. And take a look at chapter 1. Verses 4 through 8, it says this. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, referring to his disciples, he gave this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Again, the disciples were still on that plan A of thinking, you know, Jesus had come to establish his kingdom and bring Israel into the golden days again and throw off Roman oppression. They didn't understand that that was going to happen in his second coming. But then he said to them instead, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You know, Jesus was telling his disciples that the promise of the coming of Spirit was about to be fulfilled. He told them, you need the Holy Spirit. You not only need him to live the Christian life, but you also need him to be my witnesses throughout the world. By the way, could it be that one of the reasons why we struggle to share our faith is we know just a small amount of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It's a convicting thought. Well, after Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, he ascended up to heaven right before their eyes. And fast forward 10 days later, the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Jewish holiday which was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And so take a look at chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Luke writes this, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and then came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled in them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. They said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You know, this is the first sermon that Peter preaches. And he preaches with power and conviction. Right away, it's evident that the Spirit of God has had an impact on Peter's life. But I want to focus here on Peter's quoting from the Old Testament prophet Joel. In fact, I want us to take a look at two truths that we can learn from those verses. Here's the first truth. Every believer is baptized in the Spirit. Every believer is baptized in the Spirit. Peter begins in verse 17. He says, "In the last days." Now, the Spirit being poured out on the church was the inaugural event which began this period of history known as the last days. And so this period of the last days is the time between the Spirit's outpouring here on the day of Pentecost and Christ's future second coming. In fact, the signs mentioned in verses 19 and 20, they're signs that are associated with Christ's second coming. And so today, right now, we are living in the last days. But note also in verse 17, it says this, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." All people. The Holy Spirit is a gift given to all believers everywhere. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came on a select few. It was either leaders or the Old Testament prophets of the nation of Israel. In fact, in Numbers 11, it says that God poured out his spirit on 70 of the elders of Israel, and they all prophesied. Two of those elders were in the camp among the people and were prophesying, and so Joshua told Moses to command those two elders to stop prophesying. Instead, Moses said, and he replied this, he said, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would pour out his spirit on them." And that's exactly what God is doing here in Acts 2. Now, you may have heard some people in Pentecostal circles that have said that the baptism of or in the Spirit is a second blessing given only to certain Christians who have this experience. But that's actually not what Scripture teaches. Here in Acts 2, it says all people referring to all believers. In fact, if you take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, Paul writes this. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Paul is arguing here that even though we each have been given different spiritual gifts, we remain united because we have all been baptized by one Spirit into his body. Now, when were we placed into the body of Christ? Well, it was when we made that decision to place our trust in Jesus. And so every Christian has been baptized in or by the Spirit when they place their trust in Jesus. In fact, I believe that part of the symbolism of water baptism is really symbolizing when a person becomes a Christian and Jesus baptizes them with his Holy Spirit. That's part, not all, but part of the symbolism of water baptism. Now, that brings us to a second point I want us to glean from Peter's sermon, and that's this. As a result of having the Holy Spirit indwelling us, each of us as believers can hear God speak to us. We can all hear the voice of God. In fact, note how inclusive God is through his prophetic word through Joel and Peter. God says this in verse 17, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God wants us to know that each of us can hear God speak, and not just certain leaders or prophets, not just mature believers, but also young believers, and not just men, but men and women, and not just on certain socioeconomic groups, but even servants, Peter says. As Christ followers, we can all hear God speak. In fact, when you compare Peter's quote with the original quote in Joel, Peter actually adds this statement at the end of verse 18. He adds the phrase, and they will prophesy. Now, if we were to look up that quote in Joel's text there, it's not there. Peter actually adds that for emphasis. Now, that brings us to a question. What is prophecy? Well, in this case, Peter is referring to people speaking in tongues. And in this specific incident, it was a known human language, which people from all over the world, people who spoke different languages, they recognize as words of praise being spoken in their own dialect. But in a more general sense, prophecy is simply sharing what we have sensed God speaking to us. That's why Peter quotes these verses from Joel, even though Joel also includes dreams and visions when he mentions prophecy. In fact, I like the definition from Dr. Wayne Grudem. We got it on the slide here, and he says this, prophecy is telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. I think that's a really good definition. In other words, it's sharing what we have sensed God speaking to us. Now, that can take on many different forms, and we'll talk about that in a moment here. But bottom line, we can all hear from God. In fact, that's the main point of this message. If you walk away with nothing else, here's what I want you to remember here. God wants to speak to you. In fact, he wants to speak to you even more than you want to hear from him. You see, sometimes when we think about hearing God, we think that God is reticent to speak to us. Sometimes I think we believe that we want to hear from God much more than he actually wants to speak to us. But the opposite is true. God wants to speak to us even more than what we want to hear from him. God longs to be intimate with us. And part of that intimacy is communicating with us. Now, granted, like many things, hearing God's voice, it's a spiritual skill that we can develop over time. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment here. And Granted also that there are certain things that can hinder your ability to hear God's voice. But bottom line, God really does want to speak to you personally. Erin McManus shares the story. He says this, "My son Aaron was 5 or 6 when he began asking me, 'What does God's voice sound like?' I didn't know how to answer. A few years later, Aaron went off to his first junior high camp. In the middle of the week, I went up with another pastor at Mosaic, the church that he served in, to see our kids. Aaron, I learned, had started to assault another kid, but had been held back by his friends. He was unrepentant, wanted to leave camp, pulled together his stuff, and shoved it into the car. I asked him for a last talk with him before we drove away. We sat on 2 large rocks in the middle of the woods. 'Aaron,' I asked, 'is there any voice inside you telling you what you should do?' 'Yes,' he nodded. 'What's the voice telling you?' 'That I should stay and work it out.' 'Can you identify that voice?' 'Yes,' he said immediately, 'it's God.' That was the moment I had waited for. 'Aaron,' I said, 'do you realize what just happened? You heard God's voice. He spoke to you from within your soul. Forget everything else that's happened. God spoke to you, and you were able to recognize him.' I'll never forget Aaron's dug-in response. 'Well, I'm still not doing what God said.' I then explained to him that that was his choice, but this is what would happen. If he rejected the voice of God coming from deep within and chose to disobey his guidance, his heart would become hardened and his ears would become dull. If he continued on that path, there would be a day when he would never again hear the voice of God. There would come a day when he would deny that God even speaks or has ever spoken to him. But if he treasures God's voice, however it comes to him, through the scriptures, through his conscience, and he responds to him with obedience, then his heart would be softened and his ears would always be able to hear the whisper of God into his soul. Aaron chose to stay, I'm grateful to say. Bottom line, friends, God wants to speak to you again, even more than you want to hear from him. Now, let me share with you a couple of precautions, though. Here's the first one. Because we may not hear God perfectly, we must always weigh what we think we hear with the perfect word of God. Let me repeat that. Because we may not hear God perfectly, we must always weigh what we think we hear with the perfect word of God. Someone once said that God doesn't speak with a stutter, and that's true. However, because of our own frailty, we don't always hear God perfectly. In fact, sometimes we may think that we're hearing from God when we're actually not. In fact, just think in Scripture. Think about the Pharisees and scribes in Jesus' day. They thought they were listening to God when in actuality, Jesus said they were actually listening to Satan himself. And that's why it's so important to carefully weigh out everything according to God's word. Here's a second precaution here, and that's this. The greater the risk, the greater the need for confirmation, including the counsel of others. Repeat that. The greater the risk, the greater the need for confirmation, including the counsel of others. I remember back in 2000 when I sensed God saying to me that he wanted us to plant this church, and I objected. I told God, "God, you've got the wrong guy." But I kept sensing over and over the Spirit was telling me that I needed to trust him to step out in faith. But because of the risk, we really needed confirmation. And so I can remember one of those confirmations came in a visit to a house church small group. Al and I visited that group. Now, we didn't know anybody in that group. Later on, we got to know the Seavers and the Foyts. They were both part of that group. And even though Chris Foyt did not know me at the time, he had a prophetic word for me that God gave him that, again, was just confirmation that, yes, God was calling us to plant this church. Likewise, we also attended a conference, and in that conference there was a group of young people, and they said that we want to pray for any pastors here or full-time Christian workers. And so I had the opportunity to meet with them, and they said, we don't want to know anything about you. We just want to be quiet before the Lord, and we're going to pray, ask God to speak. And again, God gave them some words there that, again, was just confirmation that he was calling us again to plant this church. And so I finally said yes to the Lord, but I know that I know that we would need to get approval from the elders. And so we shared with them what we were sensing. And I think wisely, they gave us some really good input. They first wanted us to for me to go to be assessed by a church planner's assessor. They also asked us to attend a church planner's training conference, and that was all before they gave us the green light, all before it was made public. In fact, that was part of the reason why we didn't plant the church until 2004. But it was great to seek their counsel, and that through them, God gave confirmation. All to say, again, the greater the risk, the greater the need for confirmation, including the counsel of others. And so if you sense God speaking to you to do something that's of high risk, ask God. Ask him, Lord, would you give me confirmation? Asking him, it's not necessarily a lack of faith. Rather, it's wisdom. It's wise to ask God to confirm what you think God is actually telling you to do. And again, seek the counsel of wise people as well. Well, let me also give some practical suggestions on how to help you hear from God. Here's the first thing. Spend time developing intimacy with God. Spend time developing intimacy with God. Part of the reason why God wants to speak to us, it's not just to direct us and lead us, but it's also to develop greater intimacy with him. And so spending time with the Lord, it opens up our hearts to sense God's voice. Likewise, spend consistent time with God in his word. Spend consistent time with God in his word. You know, again, we don't always know if we're sensing, what we're sensing is God's still small voice. But we do know that God has already spoken to us through his word. And so getting to know God's word, it's like getting to know the language of God's word. In fact, think about this. If I told you that God only spoke in Swahili and not in English, what would you all be doing? We would all enroll in Swahili classes, right? Because we would want to learn the language of God. Well, similarly, God has already spoken in his word. And the more that you know God's word, the greater access that you will have to God's vocabulary. I remember when I was going through those really difficult years, going through that anxiety disorder. And I remember taking a run in McDonald's Woods. And I remember talking to the Lord, just asking him to take it away. And I think I mentioned that I also, you know, wanted to know him better. And as I was running, God brought to mind a passage in Philippians 3. Paul says that he counts all things, or counted all things, to be lost. And he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And as I was thinking about that verse, I told God, God, I really do want to know you. And I want also to know the power of your resurrection. I'm not sure about the fellowship of your sufferings, though. And it was almost as if, as I thought that, Jesus just whispered to me, Wayne, if you want to know me, and if you want to know the power of my resurrection, you also need to know the fellowship of my sufferings. Friends, I can remember, it literally caused me just to stop dead in my tracks. And I just, it was like God just Jesus was just speaking aloud to me, even though it was not aloud. That was a difficult word for me to hear. But it was also an encouraging word. God wanted me to know that amidst the battle that I was wrestling with, that anxiety disorder, that there really was purpose in that ordeal. God used his word to speak to me. all to say, if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to spend time learning his language. You need to spend consistent time in his word. Here's a third thing. Ask God to speak to you, and then be on the alert for his voice and his leading. Let me repeat that. Ask God to speak to you, and then be on the alert for his voice and his leading. You know, I sometimes think we ask God to speak to us, but then we can miss his voice or his leading because we really don't expect him to respond by actually saying anything to us. In his book, Character Forged from Conflict, Gary Preston writes this. Back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication, there was a story, perhaps apocryphal, about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office. In the background, a telegraph clacked away. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. While the young man completed his form, sat down with seven other waiting applicants. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. Why had this man been so bold? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They took more than a little satisfaction in assuming the young man who went into the office would be reprimanded for his presumption and summarily disqualified for the job. Within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the inner office escorted by the interviewer, who announced to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man." The other applicants began grumbling to each other. Then one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand something. He was the last one to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer responded, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his. Preston then adds this. He says, God uses many means to demonstrate his care, not only through his word, his spirit, the ministry of Christian friends, but also through more unconventional methods like burning bushes, talking donkeys, hungry creatures of the sea, visiting angels, or a bright star in the darkened sky. We need only to be alert to these signs. You see, perhaps one of the reasons why we struggle to hear God's voice is we really don't expect him to speak to us. Now, God can use many things. He can use dreams. He also uses sometimes situations that have those, quote, those unusual coincidences, those divine coincidences. Or sometimes it's just simply things that seem to stand out to you as you walk throughout the day. But we can miss what God is trying to communicate to us if we're not paying attention. Now again, obviously not everything that happens to you is something that God is trying to communicate to you. And so we need to be careful not to read too much into everything, all right? However, I would submit to you that for most of us, we've got the opposite problem. And so ask God to speak to you. And again, be on alert for his voice and his leading. Here's another thing. Spend time in silence and solitude. Mother Teresa once said this, "We need to find God. He cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence." Eugene Peterson, quoting Baron von Hugel, he said this, "Nothing was ever accomplished in a stampede." You know, today we live in a stampede of noise. And if we're ever going to hear God's voice, we need to quiet our hearts in silence and solitude, so we can hear his still, small voice. So let me encourage you to do this. In addition to spending time with God every day, let me encourage you to try to take a half day or even an entire day, maybe once or so, once a month or every couple months, Take that time in silence and in solitude. I can guarantee you that in that silence, you will turn up the volume of God's voice. Often the times I hear God most clearly have been times when I've been purposely spending extended time with Him. A fifth suggestion here. Read good books from people who hear God. Read good books from people who hear God. Now, I'll be honest, this is the first book I debated whether or not to recommend this. The book is actually a great book, but many of you know, since that time of him writing this book, Bill Hybels, there's been news about Bill Hybels' character that has been very troubling. But the book is actually a good book, particularly for those that are young believers. And so the book is still a good book. But the second book I can recommend without any qualifications here, Surprised by the Voice of God by Jack Deere. It is probably what I believe is the best book giving a biblical basis for God speaking. And so highly encourage you to read that book. Hearing God by the late Dallas Willard, also a great book. Now, Dallas Willard taught philosophy at the University of Southern California, and so there are parts of that book that get a little bit deep and philosophical, but still an excellent, excellent book. And then Walking with God by John Eldridge. Not our neighbor, John Eldridge, but John Eldridge, the one that writes a number of books for men's ministry. Walking with God is an excellent one. Last thing, in 2011, I did a 7-part message series on hearing God, and I encourage you to access that series. You can actually access it on our website. It's still on our website under the message page there. If you go all the way to the very bottom, it lists that. Unfortunately, I think the 7th message is missing there, but encourage you to listen to that. That will give you a lot more input than what I gave this evening. Again, bottom line here, God wants to speak to you more than you want to hear from Him. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that not only did you die and rise again from the dead, thank you that when you ascended into heaven, that you gave us the promise of your Spirit to live within us, to not only be with us, but also to speak with us. And so, Jesus, as we walk with you for the rest of our lives, would you continue to speak to us through your Spirit? And we'll give you the glory for that. In your name.